That's the sound of Charing Cross Road, and I'm just near St Martin's, the church, and I'm outside the National Portrait Gallery, where I am waiting to see if Joel Buckland has been able to shift around his day so that we can meet. Now, I know Joel online, but I've never met him face-to-face, in person, and shaken him by the hand. So it's a little bit exciting. Will he be able to make it? Now, I have no mobile coverage or anything like that here in London. I have my roaming switched off, so I don't know whether he may have tweeted me that he can't make it, or he may have tweeted me to confirm that he will be here. So this is this is very exciting, meeting somebody that you know online, that, you know, I've had a Skype call with him, and we've exchanged tweets, and he's a digital storyteller as well, so he's a colleague, and I'm very excited to see if he turns up. Now, I'm in two minds. Should I keep waffling away while you hear the sounds of Charing Cross Road just south of the Garrick Theatre as the number 29 bus passes, and opposite that column? I'm not quite sure what it's dedicated to. I've never actually crossed the road. It's on an island, almost like a traffic island. I've never crossed the road to look at it. It's got devotion written on one side. I think it's got fortitude on another, and it's a column with four sides, so I'm sure there are four words. Now, I'm gonna just look up and down Charing Cross Road, see if I can see Joel coming in the distance. Now, of course, the thing is, I've never met him in person, so I'm going by his photograph on his Twitter feed and on his social media presence. So I'm looking down, I suppose, towards Trafalgar Square is the direction I'm looking now, and there's a faint curve, and I don't see anybody the matching Joel's physique walking up. And I'm looking up north now, looking north, and nobody yet. I tell you what, I'm gonna pause this, because we could have 20 minutes of me describing life on Charing Cross Road outside the National Portrait Gallery. Now, I could tell you why I chose the National Portrait Gallery. That would be useful. The Taylor Wessing Portrait Prize is on, and I was here last year, and I popped in and I viewed it and enjoyed it tremendously, because there were a couple of documentary photographs, and I'm a documentary photographer as well, and there were a couple of documentary photographs in the Taylor Wessing, which I thought was very interesting. But not only that, there was a superb photograph called Raul and Maria, which was taken in Cuba, and it shows an elderly couple resting from the heat in their bedroom, and it's just beautifully shot, beautifully lit, and it shows a lot of context, exactly the kind of thing that really gets my documentary juices flowing. And I really marvelled that the photographer had been able to arrange such a situation, that he had the access, that he gained the trust of people, that he could be in the room with them while they were resting, while they were very vulnerable, an elderly couple at rest, at peace, one of them whom is sleeping. And I just marvelled at how the photographer gained this trust. Now, it turned out that through a mutual acquaintance, because the photographs were taken by a photographer called David Creedon, and David Creedon and I have a mutual acquaintance, Tanya Bualda, who does the Cuban food blog, cubanfoodblog.com. And the reason we have this shared acquaintance is, believe it or not, David lives in Cork. He's from Cork, where I live, in Ireland. So I was able to do an interview with him, and I was able to talk to him about that photograph and how he got to take it, and his approach to photography and all those things. If, by the way, you're interested in listening to that, the documentaryphotographer.net is the place to go, and you'll find the show notes and also links to the podcast there, and you'll be able to press the play button. So the documentaryphotographer.net will get you to that particular podcast if you're interested. Oh, it is now 3 o'clock. It is exactly 3 o'clock. I am looking left, up north. I'm looking right, south, towards Trafalgar Square on Charing Cross Road outside the National Portrait Gallery. I can't see Joel. Now, we'll give him a few minutes. I mean, let's not be hasty here. Let's not rush off. We'll give him a few minutes, but I don't see him approaching from the south. And I don't see him approaching from the north. Isn't this exciting? Well, it's exciting for me, maybe not for you, actually. I have to put myself in your shoes. This could be the dullest audio boo in the history of audio booing. Actually, you probably haven't listened this far if you find it dull. I have to try and keep it going. The Taylor Wessing Prize is one of those prizes that always attracts controversy, it seems. Awards and what have you always laced. You always have to wonder about the motivations behind the criticism. I mean, sometimes you can understand it. I think there was one year one of the photographers who won third prize, I think, actually was connected to one of the judges, something like that. So, you know, you can understand that's a legitimate gripe, but there's always somebody who can complain about the judge's choice and what the judges have done and that sort of thing, and it's a little bit tedious, and judges are onto a loser, really, aren't they? As soon as they make their choice, there's going to be lots of people who think another photograph should have won, not least the person who took one of the other photographs. I'm not sure who won this year, and I'm not sure how much documentary material there is, but I'll be very curious to see. I am going to go inside. I hope I can convince Joel to come in with me. I'll invite him in, and we'll go and look at the exhibition together. I'm looking up Charing Cross Road and down Charing Cross Road, and I still don't see the youthful outline of Joel. It's only 3 minutes past three, though, so we will be here for a little while longer, I think. Wouldn't it be terrible if I went in, turned round and went away, and he just came round the corner having had the most dreadful journey on the buses or on the tube with delays and suspect packages delaying the trains, or, you know, buses breaking down and he wasn't able to make it, and just as he's coming round the corner I vanish and we miss each other. That would be terrible. So I will hang around a little longer. You know when you've arranged to meet somebody and then you're having doubts as to whether you gave them the right location? Of course, the National Portrait Gallery in London is just around the corner from the National Gallery. There is room for confusion here. But of course, I daren't go round and have a look, because it would be, I'd say it's a good 5 minutes to get around the other side of this building and up to the steps of the National Gallery. By which time, Joel could have arrived, seen that I'm not here, and decided that I have left, or maybe never turned up at all. It makes me wonder how we did things in the old days, because we used to be able to make arrangements and not rely on our mobile phones if we were running late, or if we may possibly have given the wrong location. Or misunderstood the location. These days, of course, we rely on our mobiles, but when I'm abroad, I have my roaming switched off to avoid the exorbitant costs that are involved in downloading data while you're abroad, and I rely on Wi-Fi. But of course, there is no Wi-Fi where I'm standing right now, I don't think. Maybe I should check. And of course, it also occurs to me that Joel can't even send me a text message, because the poor boy doesn't have my mobile phone, because we've only ever had contact via Twitter. Over lunch, I was talking to a friend of mine, Ronan Kirby, who is, well, he's many things. He's one of the most fascinating men I know. And we were talking about business and photography and videography and a great many other things. And we were devising a strategy for him to get in front of a major hotelier in New York. And we were talking about creating a story about the journey of trying to meet this man and to show him some of Ronan's work so that he might hang it on the walls of his hotels. And we came up with, it would be a very engaging story if we were able to tell it, and it would be the journey of Ronan trying to meet this man, and it would be so compelling and so interesting and so appealing that actually even if he never got to meet this hotelier, that the story in its own right would be entertaining enough, would have value on its own. And so even if Joel hasn't been able to free up his diary to meet today for a coffee and a viewing of the exhibition here, there's still tension, there's still value in the story of whether or not we met. Will this have a happy ending? Will he come round the corner in a second, bouncing along, hastening himself towards me? Or has our opportunity unfortunately passed, and I just don't know that yet, and I'm standing here waiting for a man who sadly is unable to make it today. It's 10 minutes past three as I say that, so I am minded that we're now into that twilight zone where how much longer do I hang on for? We'll certainly give it another 15 minutes. Certainly give it another 15 minutes. Sorry, not 15 minutes. What am I talking about? 5 minutes. Certainly give it another 5 minutes. Possibly another 10. And then at that stage, you do move into that zone, don't you, where you can fairly reliably agree that the person you're waiting for is not going to appear. Fifteen minutes have passed, so the chance that Joel has not been able to rearrange his diary is increasing at this point. Of course, the decision has already been made, I just don't know it, but the knowledge of my decision is now starting to shift. It's starting to shift in favour of him not being able to meet me today, which is a great shame, but we will meet one day. We will meet one day, and I, in a way, I still have that pleasure in store for me. It's very funny because you can actually look at it as something that has already happened, because it will happen one day. So it's almost as if it has happened. But I just have that pleasure still awaiting me of experiencing meeting Joel in person. I am going to give it 5 more minutes at this location, outside the National Portrait Gallery, and then I'm going to walk round to the National Gallery and see if he isn't waiting for me there because of a miscommunication. Of course, he may now also be, for all I know, he's audio-booing as well. Wouldn't that be great? Two of us audio-booing about a meeting with somebody we've never met before. That would run wonderfully concurrent. And he may be on outside the National Gallery going, well, I'm thinking Roger can't make it, something must have happened. I don't know. Right. Okay, a few more minutes and then I'm going to set off around the front of the National Gallery. Okay, it is stick or twist time, and I am not going to stick, I'm going to twist. I'm going to walk round to the National Gallery side of this complex and see if Joel is there. Okay, I am turning the corner onto the now pedestrianised Trafalgar Square. There used to be a road here, I remember. That's changed now. The square is busy. Now, if you were waiting for somebody here outside the National Gallery, which has a number of entrances, you would go for the big stairs and the column. I'm not sure what the architectural feature is called. So I'm just going to stand beneath that and see if there is anybody up there who looks like Joel. No, I don't see anybody. I'm just looking around, facing Nelson's Column now. Okay, I'm going to go up one set of steps, past the front door, down the others, but I think you don't always get what you want in life, do you? OK, coming up the steps. As I turn the corner, will he be here? Sadly, no. Now, there will be an epilogue to this. There will be an exchange of tweets saying, "Oh, wasn't it a shame we couldn't meet?" But like I say, you don't always get what you want in life. As the police van passes, I'm going to walk back to the National Portrait Gallery and spend a little bit of time at the Taylor Wessing before heading off to Heathrow Airport. Thank you for listening to what was ultimately a fruitless... Well, not fruitless. I enjoyed your company. Thank you for helping the time pass. And Joel and I will meet at a later date. As I walk away from having been inside to see the Taylor Wessing exhibition this year, one thing springs to mind. Certainly one person will have listened to this whole entire audio boo, and that will be you, Joel. This is a personal epilogue for you. It would have been absolutely wonderful to have met you face to face and had a cup of coffee. And I sincerely hope that we get that opportunity in the future. In fact, I know we will, because we'll work towards making it happen. But take care of yourself, and we will meet again in the future. And to everybody else who's listened, maybe you and I will have a chance to have a cup of coffee together as well. Take care.